So this morning we're taking a look at Blessed to be a Blessing, Living the Dream, which obviously fits nicely with the title for this year as well, which is Blessed to be a Blessing. It took me quite a while actually to think about how to fit these two and how to make it so that everyone, it fits for everyone, because some people might not feel like they're in a time where they're living a specific dream. They've got a dream or a calling on their life, and some people might feel they're in a preparation phase or in a, as we talked about with Joseph and so many other things, there's periods of your life where you don't feel like you're living the dream, so to speak. But actually, we're all living a part of God's dream for us, and we're all living a part of that purpose. So even if you're not living at the moment in a specific dream, in the phase where you're living a specific, what you feel to be called to do, you are actually living a part of God's dream for you, so you're still living part of the dream. And for some people, they may not be able to see that at the moment. It might be hard, life might be difficult. And I pray that you grow through that, but you come out of it so that you can see all the things that God has for you, and that you get all the support and help you need from the church and those around you. I was reminded this morning, when I was looking at this, I was reminded how blessed we are. And I was just looking at articles, and as you do when you're researching for these things, and I came across a Gospel Coalition article from 2013, which says a bit out of date, but it has a bit of facts, and it's also American, so you have to bear the currency in mind. But it just really struck me of how blessed we are here, even, and this is obviously just talking about financially, but there's so many ways we're blessed. But it was just an interesting little article, and just let me read you a little, some figures. If you make $49,802 per year, average income in the United States, this was 2013, you earn more than money than 99% of the world's population. If your family earns $23,050 per year, US poverty level for a family of four, you're in the top 19% of the world's richest people. More than one half of the world's population lives below the internationally defined poverty line of less than $2 a day. We are the richest church in the history of the world. And that really just struck me, especially when we're doing things like this morning and we think about a blessing. And obviously financially we're quite blessed, many of us, not everyone I'm sure. But also we're blessed in many ways, in freedom of speech and freedom of time and freedom to do what we want to do, which a lot of the church in the world doesn't have. I think you said 100,000 Christians a year are killed for their faith, which is quite a few. So anyway, I know I've depressed you a bit. We'll carry on. If we go on to the next page. So Joseph, oh, have we got the video? Yeah, show the video and then we'll go on from there.
So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain round his neck. He made him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and people shouted before him, "Make way!" Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift a hand or foot in all Egypt." Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zaphnath-Paneah and gave him Asenath, daughter of Potipherah, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city he put the food grown in the field surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potipherah, priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." The second son he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph and do what he tells you." When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And all the world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine was severe everywhere.
So, Joseph, if we move on to the next slide, Joseph had made it. He was second in charge of Egypt. He had probably the Rolls Royce of the day, although it was the Pharaoh's Rolls Royce. He'd travel around in that. He'd go around Egypt. And it looked quite easy, didn't it, really? He'd been in prison for a while, but he suddenly went from being in prison to being second in control of Egypt. And most of us look at our lives and go, well, that didn't happen to me. I didn't just suddenly become the second most powerful man in the UK or Rolls-Royce or whatever. Yeah. Well, you might be. Sorry, Carl. Sorry. It takes time, but so it seems quite easy. But as we know, there was more to Joseph's story than that. He was sold in slavery, and he had quite a long time of preparation to come to that period. But he does. He just finds himself as the most powerful man in Egypt. Effectively, the Pharaoh said, "Wherever you say goes." And that's amazing, isn't it? And all the world came to Joseph because of who he was later on in the story. If we move on then, when you have that sort of power, if many of you might know the story just from the picture, if you can see it, there's a parable that Jesus tells, and it's in Matthew 19. And he tells a young man who's very rich, "Right, what do you need to do?" He's obeyed everything, and he says, "Well, you need to give away all your money." And he realizes that that's the hardest thing for this guy. And actually, Joseph wasn't just blessed in terms of riches. He had power, authority, had all those things. So for him, the temptation must be very great to not trust in God. So and in this story, Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich person to enter heaven. And you go, wow, that's quite significant. I think the more you have sometimes, the harder it is to serve God, because in some ways you've got to give more away. You've trusted with more. If you remember the parable of the talents, the more you're trusted with, the more you're expected to give. And actually you have to give more for it to be painful. So if you are really blessed, you've got to remember you've got to give a lot away. I did see a funny cartoon actually about the eye of the needle and the camel. There's a little cartoon of two guys saying, "Well, we can get around this problem, we'll just make a bigger needle." But anyway, that's aside. If we move on, how do we then live in, if we are blessed, and most of us are blessed in one way or another, a lot of us know God, and that's a great blessing, and many of us have things and family, and so we've all got blessings, we're all skilled in something. And that's a blessing in itself. So how do we continue trusting God, and how do we continue to live for him when we have all these things? And in the West, that's a big question. And I think the answer is actually summarized by Jesus in Matthew 22. He just said simply, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." To be honest, I could probably stop my sermon there. If we grasp that in the light of Christ, then we would live for him every day. And it doesn't matter what circumstances we find ourselves in, whether we were blessed or struggling or whatever. If we hold to those two commandments, then, well, we'd live for God and we'd honor him. However, I have 40 minutes to speak, so I'm not going to leave it there. And we've got to learn from the life of Joseph, so if we carry on. So, how did Joseph live for God? How did he do it? And part of it is Joseph worked hard consistently. So one of the points that Joseph did, he worked hard consistently. 7 years he worked hard for Pharaoh. In the time of he got his promotion, he then went throughout the whole land of Egypt, serving and gathering grain. He was a very hard-working man. And actually, when you have gifts and abilities, whatever you've been gifted with, you need to do it with the very best of your ability. Joseph didn't rest on his laurels. He consistently went out there and he worked hard. He went around the whole of Egypt gathering grain. He took records for a while until it became untenable. They didn't have computers back then, so I imagine it's quite hard to keep track of everything. And yeah, he really put his effort in. He didn't work alone. That's an important point. No one who's ever been successful works alone. No man is an island, is the old expression. I don't know if that was a particularly large person or what. But no man is an island. He put people in charge of that. He had commissioners underneath him, if you read the passage. He put commissioners throughout Egypt to gather the grain. But he also was in charge of them. He was making sure that they were doing their jobs. And in fact, he was so successful, they had too much grain, really. He couldn't even keep track of it, as I said. But make sure you're not working consistently in the wrong place. Don't consistently keep doing the wrong thing. That isn't really going to bless your life or be successful. You know, if you keep consistently, I don't know, gambling, it's not exactly going to bring about good things for you. So don't work hard at gambling, but work hard at the things that God calls you to do. And remember, and also the life of Jesus just speaks true into that, doesn't it? From a young age, he was devoted to following God and serving him and doing everything that he asked. Even when he was very young, his parents found him in the temple, and there he was serving Christ. So we can look at the life of Jesus, and then the final 3 years of his life, he obviously just went around preaching all the time and healing, and his whole life was dedicated to that mission. And so we need to do that. And whatever you do, whether you're a farmer or a trainer, you've got gifts, you've got strengths that God's given you. And we need to really make the most of that. We need to give that. God's honored by that. God's blessed when we give him our best. And that's what Joseph did. You know, I came to a question when I was thinking about this. I thought to myself, what honored God more in Joseph's life? Was it the fact that he gave an interpretation? He listened to God for a moment and gave an interpretation of a dream. Or was it the fact that for 7 years he went out and followed God's direction using the strengths that God had given him? Because he was a great administrator. God made him he was a slave, so he probably did some manual labor, but we know from beforehand that, well, he didn't really do much because he wore a nice colorful jacket, as Owen said. So he probably wasn't very good at manual labor, but he was a great administrator. And he went out and he got put in a position where he was using his strengths to God's glory. And he did that for 7 years. And I wonder what was more honoring to God. And I have a suspicion, but I'm not going to answer it. But that's not to belittle spiritual gifts, by the way. So that's the first point. Work hard consistently. Joseph did that. Second point. Oh, actually, sorry, I forgot about that. There's a quote from Thomas Edison. He isn't a Christian, so don't listen to everything he says, but he did have a good point here. He says, we often miss opportunity because it's dressed in overalls and looks like hard work. I think sometimes often people get put off when it's not easy, you know. And sometimes we think honoring God, it should be easy if God's called us to something. And I think most of us will know it's not like that. I think if God calls you to something, you usually have to work very hard at it. And this guy grasps that, and he isn't even a Christian, so it just shows you. If we move on. So, the next point is seek God first. Joseph did that in his life. There's a couple of passages here, there's three. Just before he got promoted, he had that point where he said, I can't interpret this dream for you, but God can. And he acknowledged God first in that. And he, when he had got promoted to this position of power, he didn't forget God. He wasn't perfect. He did marry a priest of On, which he probably shouldn't have done, knowing God's people and how that was back then. But he did remember God, and he called his kids. His first one was, Manasseh. And it says, because God's helped me to forget the trouble. So obviously, God had helped him to forget all the pain of his being sold into slavery. And the second kid he named Ephraim, which means, and it's because God made him fruitful in the land of his suffering. So in both those things, he remembered God. And the Bible's just full of people, you know, that put first God, and they worked hard, and they received great blessing. And a blessing wasn't just for them, but it went much further than themselves. So let's push on a slide. There's just a few people up there. Obviously, Abraham, he was faithful to God. He put God first. He had great faith, and in that, he got a son. But that son wasn't that was his blessing, but actually he was going to be a blessing to the world, because out of that line would become Jesus, and out of that line would come many nations. When you look at Ruth, she was obviously not an Israelite, but she married into that family. And then she got married again, and again she became part of the family line that spawned Jesus eventually, and her ancestor, well, she was the ancestor of David as well, one of the great kings of Israel. So out of that blessing, because she was faithful to God, she chose to leave her family and going into God's kingdom. Out of that faithfulness, she received blessing. She was married, she had kids, and she received a redeeming. But out of that, she was also a blessing to many others. David, well, a lot of people know his story. He was a man after God's own heart. Became king of Egypt, which was a great blessing. And again, out of that line, the Israelites did really well under David. And then eventually Jesus would come again. And Job, he was before them. I should have probably started with him, but anyway, that's life. Job, he was a man who followed God. He had great blessings. Had many things in his life. Then he lost it all, but he didn't ever turn away from God. And then it said the latter half of his life was more blessed than the first. And obviously we've got Jesus. He lived for God. He's our great example. And now he's reigning at the right hand of God. He was blessed to be reigning at the right hand of God, but through him many people are blessed. And John, the one who loves Jesus, or the one who Jesus loved, most people think that, is who it was talking about. And he was blessed through that, but he also blessed many through his works and his life. There's just a few examples there of people who are faithful to God and put him first. And out of that, they were blessed, but also many others were blessed. So, like Joseph, if we remember to put God first in our lives, and it comes back to that commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul and mind. And if you do that, it'll start well for you. I'm not saying it'll be easy. None of those people had it easy if you actually look at their stories, but you will be. You will know blessing, and you'll be a blessing to others. If we carry on. Remember the source. Obviously, Joseph called his son Ephraim, which means, because God may be fruitful in the land of my suffering. And God remembered where the source of his blessing was from. Joseph remembered where the source of his blessing was from. And his source of his blessing was from God. Everything he had, every talent he had, all his strengths, all the abilities, his natural abilities, because natural abilities come from God. If God didn't make it your strength, it wouldn't be a strength. So therefore, any natural ability you have, it comes from God. Otherwise, it'd just be a weakness, because you wouldn't have received it from God. So we've got to remember that, and remember anything that we have that is good is from God. A person who forgot that was Saul. He became king of Israel before David, and he forgot God. In fact, he built a statue to himself, and he turned away from God. And quite quickly, things didn't turn out very well for him. They say pride comes before the fall, don't they? When you forget that God is your source, it soon doesn't end well. And I know Many times for me, when I've become prideful of something, I'm quickly reminded that I shouldn't be. And it's easy to do that, isn't it? When you're standing up to preach or something, you can always get prideful easily as well. Wherever you are, you see politicians all the time falling from grace because they become prideful in their position and arrogant. And I'll tell you one person who did really remember who the source of her blessing was, and that's Hannah. There's another person in the Bible. She was the mother of Samuel, and she'd pray to God for a child. And this child came, and she promised that she'd give him to God. And she did. She committed his life to God. He grew up with a priest, and he became a great prophet. This lady gave up her son when he was born because she remembered that God was the source of that blessing. And actually, through that, not only did Samuel become a great prophet and become a great blessing to that nation, his mother also had five more kids, I think it was. So she also received further blessing. And so being willing to recognize that God is the source and being willing to give back to God and share that blessing, she received great blessing from that. So that's the third one, remember the source. I seem to be rattling through this quite quickly, but anyway. If we go on to the final one, blessed to be a blessing. It's all summarized in all of the points. But ultimately, that's what it's about. You know, God's dream for you and me is not that we are just blessed. That is a part of it, don't get me wrong. He wants you to enjoy the blessing that God, he gives you. He's not saying don't enjoy it, otherwise it wouldn't be much of a blessing. But Joseph was blessed. He got this great high position, but his position was not just for him. Don't get me wrong, I'm sure he enjoyed riding around in the Rolls Royce of the day. I'm sure he enjoyed wearing all the nice fancy designer clothes and going around Egypt. But that wasn't the purpose. And actually, his blessing saved millions. The whole world came to him so that they did not starve. God's blessing for you. So his dream for you is so much bigger than just a blessing for yourself. Actually, he wants you to live as he gives to us. He wants you to be able to give to others. And he wants you to be like his son, Jesus, who obviously came and died for us, but he gave everything so that we may know the Father. And in that giving everything, he received a great blessing. He's now sitting at the right hand of the Father. But also we reign with him. His blessing wasn't just for him, but it was for others. Joseph, in many ways, was a forerunner of that, of Christ. You see so many examples of where old Bible, Testament Bible stories sort of represent a forerunning of Christ. And in many ways, Joseph's position and his saving of many nations was probably a forerunning of Christ. But yeah, we need to grasp that. And I just put, enjoy God's blessing and enjoy sharing it. I don't think being a blessing to others should be painful. Well, it will be at times, but ultimately I think God wants you to enjoy blessing others and being a blessing. I know God certainly enjoys a relationship with his children, so there's no reason to assume that we shouldn't also enjoy it. Again, I don't think that means it won't be hard work at times, but the joy you'll find inside when we give to others is great. You often hear when people say that, oh, I did this for so-and-so, I was able to give this, and you just see the smile on their face when they can give. And it's a great thing. So yeah, we just need to hold on to things lightly and know that our blessings are there to bless others. So finally, I just basically come back to where I started. And I think all of those points are so beautifully summed up in the passage that Jesus gave us. And I just love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. God is the source. Put God first. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Work hard, work diligently in blessing others. And bless others. Love them, care for them, use your talents, use your gifts, use whatever you have. It's not just money, it's time, it's resource. You're all gifted with something. Some of you are great artists, some of you are great musicians, some of you are great administrators. Everyone is blessed, and everyone is part of God's dream for us to go out and make disciples of all nations. And ultimately, that's the great dream that we're a part of. God wants everyone to be a part of his family. That's the great dream. And we all have our own dreams that we're a part of that. And some of us are not living in that part of the dream yet. We're not fulfilling our ultimate purpose that we think God's calling us to. But we are all fulfilling part of that dream, which is go out and love people, see them safe, see them following me, bless people, love the poor, love those who are needy. That's the ultimate calling that we have. And it's all just our dreams, our visions that God gives us are all a part of that great dream of his. And we just get to be a part of that blessing to others. So, I think the final slide just says blessed to be a blessing. Let me pray. Dear Lord and Father, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you that each of us has something to offer, Lord. None of us are empty-handed, Father. You've given each of us skills and talents and blessings, and that we're all living a part of your dream for humanity, for this world, and that, Lord, out of it, great things can happen. I pray that we can change this town and we can change this nation for the better, because we're working hard for you, Lord. We're setting you first, remembering that you give us all things, and that we just want to bless people, Father, because you've blessed us. Help us to love as you have loved us, and help us to live our lives for you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.